You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Cross it's a goal! Oh, it's the United, Paul Armstrong.
First time shot comes in.
Oh, Jay Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell.
In this Quiz My Club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from Saturday's crucial match against Guiseley.
Hello, this is John Champion. You're listening to FC United Radio.
Hello, I'm your host Cockers and welcome to this week's This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. As well as the men's team, later in the show we'll also be hearing how the women's team fared in their own league fixture. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week's news with a date for your diary, as on the 29th of March, FC United's comedy night will be returning to Broadhurst Park. Get yourself down to that football ground as Smug Roberts, Danny Deegan and headliner Justin Morehouse will be taking to the stage. Tickets are available from the club office during office hours. For more details, please call 0161 769 2005. Elsewhere, and tickets for this Saturday's clash at Southport are now available to buy online. Southport operates cashless turnstiles, so all supporters must be in possession of a match ticket. Tickets can also be purchased from the Southport Club shop before 2:50pm on the day of the game. Please visit www.southportfc.net for further details. And finally, following last weekend's unlucky 2-1 defeat to Altrincham, it's been a busy week on the training ground for Renault's Reds. To find out more, Ben caught up with the FC United manager Neil Reynolds to hear the mood in the camp heading into Saturday's crucial league match with Guiseley.
So Neil, a big thank you for joining us on a Friday night. A big, big game tomorrow against Guiseley. How's the dressing room been this week?
I mean, believe it or not, Ben, the dressing room's been, you know, it's had a bounce about it. You know, even though we suffered another defeat last week, I think that's our last three games now, got beat 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, but loads of positive signs. And I think the one that I had to pick up was Zen. You know, Zen was down in the dumps because, obviously, you know, it's his deflected goal. But listen, you're going to play football. Things happen in games of football. And last week wasn't our day, you know, for as well as we played. And like everyone has said, you know, it wasn't to be, and we didn't get that result. So, you know, we've got to regroup and we've got to go again against Guiseley tomorrow. And that's what our focus has been. Training's been great this week. We've trained to a game plan. We know about Guiseley. I went to watch him against Southport the other week. So, you know, we're ready. You know, we're ready like we are ready in every game.
Now, obviously, it's we're building this up as a relegation six-pointer, but Guiseley did pick up a very good draw midweek. I mean, Guiseley obviously suffered a relegation last season. On your scouting missions to watch Guiseley, do you sense any nerves in that camp? And if you do, is there any way we can exploit that tomorrow, do you feel?
It's just our luck, Ben, in a minute. You know, they went to Stockport they played against Stockport last Saturday and drew 1-1, and they've gone to Telford in midweek and drew 1-1. So they're coming into the game, you know, probably full of confidence. And we're going into the game on, you know, the back of a few defeats. But no, you know, I went to watch Guiseley and I wanted to look at the shape and I wanted to look at how they set up on set pieces and what the main, you know, what the main style of play is. So I learnt a lot from the game. We'll have to be on our lookout. They've got a tremendous throwing that kind of can catapult into your box from anywhere on the pitch, especially from the left hand side. It's literally a left, you know, throwing it into back post every time. So, you know, we've done quite a bit of work on that. I wouldn't say I've sensed nerves. I think, you know, when we went to see them against Southport, they held their own for 60, 65 minutes and then Southport scored a great goal. And, you know, I think when you're down there, it was difficult for them to get back into the game. But no, listen, you know, you look at the game tomorrow, fourth from bottom, second from bottom, it won't be an easy game. It won't be any, you know, it'll be just as difficult as Altrincham, Boston, Stockport. You know, it's a game that both sides desperately want to win. We know that it's a must-win game for us. And Guiseley, if they slip up to us, then we, you know, we close some points back on them. But, you know, we'll treat the guys of the game with exactly the same respect and like we do with every game this season. And hopefully, you know, we keep saying hopefully, but, you know, we keep playing the way we do. We keep knocking on the door, keep creating chances. And, you know, you come quarter five tomorrow, hopefully we've got that win. And that's what everyone's aim is. So yeah, we're ready for the game.
And how's the squad shaping up tomorrow, heading into the game? Any injury concerns or anything like that?
No, not majorly. You know, we might have to look at, you know, O'Halloran trained, Bannister trained last night, which was great. But obviously, you know, since Halley came off against Boston, he hasn't played in a minute. So, you know, he joined in the last half an hour of training. Bannister, it looks like that he didn't have any reoccurrence. So again, he could be available selection. But, you know, speaking to the physio, Liv, it's how best we use them. You know, if we start them, will we get 90 out of them, or is it better to bring them off from the bench? So it's another conversation with the physio tomorrow morning. But apart from that, you know, Danny Morton picked up a slight knock in training last night, but we're hopeful he's going to be okay. I've got 21 to choose from. You know, it's going to be difficult. I've got 21 to choose from tomorrow. And, you know, I've said to the lads that this isn't a reflection on your performance if you're not involved in the 16. It's all about picking results up now at this point of the season. And, you know, I don't expect people to be happy, but that's my job. And I've got a team to pick tomorrow. I've got subs to pick from tomorrow. But ultimately, our aim at FC United is going to get that win tomorrow. And what has helped us this week, Ben, you know, I'm not saying that this will trigger the win, but Paul Howarth gave up his time on Tuesday night. I'm not sure if you've seen the tunnel area, but Paul came down on Tuesday night before training and he did a mini presentation to the lads. They've put pictures up in the tunnel area now, and he was explaining to the squad about what every picture meant, you know, to FC United. And it was touching, to be honest. And he finished by saying that, you know, that could be you. You know, we go to Brackley at the end of the season and manage to stay in this league, you know, that picture that you're seeing around there could be you. And that was a really good motivation for us, because it showed us one, what it meant to the supporters, and Paul delivered a great presentation. But secondly, you know, to the lads as well, we don't want to be part of a potential relegation, and we're going to do everything and anything we can do to stay in this league. And everyone needs to know that. You know, every time we apply ourselves on the pitch, we're desperately trying to get that win. And luck's gone against us in recent weeks, but I firmly believe in the squad. And if we perform like we can perform and execute the game plan, there's no reason why we can't beat guys tomorrow.
FC United manager Neil Reynolds speaking to Ben there on Friday afternoon. To Saturday's football action now, and with little margin for error, FC United hosted fellow relegation battling Guiseley at Broadhurst Park. To hear how the match went, it's over to FC Live.
So, hello everybody, and welcome to a very historic FC Live. It's a proper six-pointer. It's the first of many six-pointers to come. We've been using the term, it's on. Stato Paul is with me.
Is it historic or is it stoic?
A win today, Paul, and it is on. A defeat could mean anything.
Well, Guiseley are in the 19th position, the safe position, and the gap's 8 points. If win today and it drops to 5, and we're all of a sudden back in the hunt. So, yes, a defeat would be very damaging today. A win throws us back into the mix a bit more.
Can you say it's on, Paul, if we do win?
Well, yeah, I think you can, but considering the fixtures we've got to come, which we've already gone through many times over the last few weeks, Guiseley have not won for 8 games in the league.
I mean, they've drawn 14 games this season.
They're the draw specialists.
Which is nearly as many as we've lost.
Yeah. So they're not in the greatest of form.
And the other thing is as well, I mean, Guiseley, a great result midweek against Telford. Obviously, a great result last week against Stockport. 2 draws there. Not surprising, really. But Guiseley have been relegated already in the last 18 months. And therefore, you know, it would be quite handy if we put the pressure on them.
They won't be sitting comfortably at the moment, the way they are. Particularly with 13 games to go. They've got 13 to go. We've got 12 to go. And we've looked at the running as well.
On last week's podcast and on Women's Team Live, we went through the running, and you know, Reynolds said 7 wins out of the next 12, and you know, we could stay up. The games today, obviously FC United against Guiseley is a big game this afternoon, but intriguingly, Ashton United are playing Hereford as well. And another team who I'd just like to bring up, and that's Alfreton Town. Now, Alfreton are playing Chorley this weekend. The gap between FC United and Alfreton is 10 points. It could be 7 by the end of the day, and we do know that we've got to play Alfreton towards the end of the season. So
yeah, and Hereford at home.
We've got to look at these teams who aren't necessarily in good form at the minute and kickstart our season. And this is the game to do it, I feel.
Yeah, and it's an interesting team selection. It looks like... You reckon it's three at the back today?
I reckon it's going to be three at the back. I mean, we said it'd be good if Lynch starts, because that back three at the end of the Altrincham game last week, I think it gave licence to Sass Davis and Mohamed to bomb forward, and it worked quite well, I thought. So Mohamed and Sass Davis and Lynch all start. O'Halloran's going left wing back. Morton's going right wing back. Then it's a double act in midfield, not a trio, a double act of Winter and Whittam, and it's a three-pronged attack of Bannister, Sharp and Willoughby. He's going for it, Paul.
He is, and I think we've got to in this situation. It's a bit like 73-74 when Tommy Docherty...
No, it's not like that.
Tommy Docherty said, well, if we're going to go, we might as well give it a go.
Obviously, we all know how that season ended, but this will be fine. This will be fine, everyone, because it's on. It's on. Hashtag it's on. Joel Senior, Piers, Wallen, Donoghue and Allison are substitutes. Obviously, Fisher is in net. Didn't really see much of him last week.
No, he fished the ball out the net twice. That's about all he did. But he made some good saves, to be fair. And he looks a very competent keeper.
One thing that has been picked up upon in Renault scouting missions is the fact that, you know, there is a long throw-in from the left-hand side. I think it's Niall Heaton who's the long throw-in specialist. Therefore, there is going to be a lot more action for Andy Fisher this afternoon, just from throw-ins alone.
Well, we went to Guiseley, obviously, in September, and we know all about the way Guiseley play and the way they set up, and I don't think they've changed very much. The players are pretty much the same.
But we've changed a lot since that day, in all fairness. You know, it's nearly a squad a week, but it looks like Renault's going for it this afternoon, and it's going to be a very, very important game. And here's hoping for 6 points, Paul, because it's a 6-pointer.
We can't even say a draw's good today. It's got to be a win.
Well, Paul, a big thank you for joining us. We'll be hearing from Stato Paul at half time, of course. But it's now time to welcome our commentary team who are getting in position this afternoon and at the back of the main stand. And well, because it's such a big game, because it's a historic game, a 6-pointer, it all starts here. Survival is coming, everyone. Believe and all that palaver. It's now time to hand over to expert commentary team for this afternoon. It's Champagne Roy Sewell from livesports.fm.
Good afternoon.
And it's James Quinn, everyone. Hello.
Thank
from,
you.
From the Cannes Film Festival. He's here too.
Well, thanks very much, Ben. And it's great to be back with you. Fleeting appearance, I'm afraid, but... big game, and if ever there was a must-win game, then this is surely it for FC United. It's certainly a cannot lose.
I mean, Roy, you've seen this team a couple of weeks. Very unlucky last week. 2-1 defeats, three times on the trot, and the luck's got to turn around, hasn't it?
It has, but also, to be honest,
I mean, you managers are a bit weird when it comes to luck and all that. You're a bit. I don't want to call you oddballs or anything like that, but you are a bit Yuri Geller about it, you managers. I mean,
some managers are, but I'm not. I'm quite logical and philosophical.
Are there enough black cats and ladders you can walk under before your luck changes?
No, I think it's all down to hard work and preparation. I don't look for excuses. I've been with people that use those as excuses, and sorry, it doesn't work that way. You need to work hard at what you do, prepare on what you do, and if you don't prepare and work hard, then don't be surprised at the outcomes.
And we had a good natter with Renault before kickoff. They have been scouting guys, they know where the dangers are, particularly the long throw-ins as well, and they've been working on that. But one thing that does need to improve is the goal scoring, and a lot of attention is going to be on Kurt Willoughby this afternoon.
Yeah, well, you know, we're speaking with Renault just before, you know, I gave my opinion that I felt that he was working 30 yards too deep, and his qualities are in front of the goal, so obviously he needs to work that 30 yards further up the field, you know, to get himself within good shooting opportunities and shooting positions.
And giving the captain of our band today, Kurt Willoughby, as well.
Well, he needs to lead by example
exactly.
Then now.
But it is now time to hand over to our commentary team. So, Roy, but first up, welcome back, Mr. James Quinn.
So, Cantrell, man who's been doing good work at the back for his side, will take this corner from the left-hand side for Guiseley. And first corner of the game for them. And it comes near post.
Oh,
and as simple as that.
Oh.
Well, it couldn't be more simpler ways to score a goal to the near post and nod it in and just just too easy.
All they've done there is just picked the front post area out. They haven't even picked a player out. They've overloaded at the front post area, and the ball's gone straight in, straight onto Heaton's head. All he's done is just turned his head and directed it into an empty goal.
Well,
need to have responsibilities, you know, for your actions, and actually pick men up and pick areas up that are so dangerous to you as a defending team.
So FC 0, Guiseley 1. We played 8 and a half minutes, but this is an ideal position for Kurt Willoughby. It's about 25 yards out, it's very central, and the sort of free kick that he's got the quality to put away. He's got to test the keeper this time, though. Went over the bar earlier. What a chance here for FC United to level things up.
Feelings are that, you know, it's a little bit square on central. We could do with a little bit more of an angle, you know, one way or the other. But even so, he needs to hit the target and make that goalkeeper work.
Kurt Willoughby prepares to take this one. Referee, whistle at his lips. Here it goes now. Willoughby, right footed. Oh, it's right over the goal! It's an absolutely magnificent strike by Willoughby to the keeper's left-hand side. Low, just inside the post. Couldn't get much better than that, Roy.
No, he's done what we said. He's hit the corner, which is absolute quality. Had the keeper there at full stretch, couldn't get a full hand on it, and you know, this is what you need to do: hit the target, make the goalkeeper's work, and if it did come out off the goalkeeper's hands, then you're following in for any seconds and rebounds.
14th goal of the season for Kurt, and 29 minutes.
And the manager celebrates by taking his jacket off. 1-1 here in what's becoming an absorbing contest here at Broadhurst Park. It's a relegation battle, and that's played forward again. Digi, well, James wins a header there. Well won by Jaya now, and now Liburd. Now he's through. He's one on one, and he scores so well. And FC United undone. And Sass Davis there just was a half a yard away, and all the good work achieved by Willoughby's free kick there. Undone in a matter of moments.
Well, Liburd, all he did was he got up alongside Sass Davis and he just eased him out the way. And we're talking earlier about how reliant Guiseley are on his deceptive power and pace, because that's what it is, and he just muscled him out the way. And you know what? We were sat right behind that ball. He did that with all purpose, and he just clipped it with the outside of his foot for that far post area.
It was a beautiful finish.
Yeah, it was a lovely finish. Well done, my lad.
But FC United, now 2-1 down. And, it's going to be a tough afternoon for FC. Always was going to be, but it's getting tougher. Just when FC got back into it, now they've got to respond again. But since the substitutions, it's been Guiseley, if anybody, has looked the more dangerous. And FC look a little bit fragile at this moment. 2-1 down. Now O'Halloran played forward. Willoughby there. Moyo gets the head to it though, and then hoofs it clear. Odejai nods it on nicely, and good work there. Liburd there, very good work to Hatfield. Hatfield one on one. This could be it. Hatfield steadied himself. 3-1. Guiseley now 3-1 to the good. And FC United now staring right down the barrel, Roy. And what went wrong there?
Well, all the damage was done when Lynch got isolated with Liburd. And he basically just muscled his body back into him. And as the number seven, Hatfield made a midfield run. He was never tracked. Liburd just passed the ball neat and tidy inside of his left-hand side into his path. And Hatfield just run through unopposed, completely unopposed, and just tucked it one-on-one past the goalkeeper, Fisher. Sad marking, no covering, and I don't know, as a defensive deterrent, FC are very, very limited.
23 minutes to go, and FC have got to find at least two and preferably three goals now. As the minutes tick away, quarter of an hour to go. Donoghue's corner, flighted upwards, and there was it's a
pushing on Lynch.
Lynch was being pushed. Now this is a bigger moment as you're going to get, really. It was a kind of shove that goes on a lot. We were talking earlier at one point about Fisher not getting a free kick with a soft nudge. This was a case, again, the sort of thing that defenders get away with all the time, but it was a penalty, and there was pushing, but they can protest as much as they like, but this is a lifeline for FC United.
I believe this is our second penalty this season, by the way.
Here we go, Willoughby with the penalty.
Get in.
Brilliant, that's a brilliant penalty.
Get in there.
And two goals from Willoughby, a perfect free kick and now a perfect penalty. And that will change the atmosphere in this stadium. Interestingly, the Geisley coach is saying, keep it calm, lads. No panic. And there's 14 minutes to go. And FC United 2 now, Geisley 3. And indeed, we've got a cracking finish in prospect now. Lynch gets ahead on this. Now it's O'Halloran. O'Halloran plays it forward rather too strongly there. Bannister can't control it. Digi clears. And now it's Morton trying to control it. Plays it back to Lynch. And now back to Fisher. Now will surely look for a long ball. Maybe out to the left-hand side. Aim for Donoghue. Donoghue nods it down. Now Willoughby tries to pressure on the ball. A chance for Pearce.
It's
scores! It's a mistake by Moyo, and it's 3-3. The manager does a little dance onto the field there, and all of a sudden, well, we've spoken about it. Geisley, from being 3-1 up, have just lost control, and there are 7 minutes to go plus added time. It's 3-3, and we've got an absolute cracker here at Broadhurst Park. And there goes the final whistle. It's 3-3, and an absorbing encounter, a thrilling fight back from FC United to rescue a point which just about keeps them alive here. 7 points is a long way back, but 10 points would have been a lot worse, and a point gained rather than two lost, perhaps, Roy.
A great second half for entertainment off from both accounts. I mean, Geisley threw the gauntlet down, and FC took it up, and with the substitutions definitely made a difference. It put more gusto, more effort, more commitment. The first time balls were coming in, which was the cause of all Geisley's pains, to be honest. And FC just kept that pressure on, and through the pressure going forward, it alleviates the pressures of defending. And FC had the opportunity to cover up any of the long balls that Geisley were just banging anywhere. There was no sort of method to them or anything, and a little bit of both, a little bit of apprehension and nervousness off Geisley lost them the 2 points, but the commitment and the urgency of FC's play in the second half put them in the position where they share the points.
And substitutions did seem to make an impact.
Yeah, definitely. They just upped the tempo, and the first time deliveries was what was causing the FC a lot of issues. In the first half, they were dwelling on it, they were holding it, and they were getting caught in possession. When the substitutions were made, and it's obvious that they were told to put the ball in quicker, that's when the errors started happening in Geisley's play, because they didn't have the time to organise themselves and rearrange themselves to suit the situations they were finding themselves in, because the ball was coming in too quick.
Yeah. I wonder what lot to reflect upon, but I wonder if the question, say, between Piers and Sharp. Piers looked pretty...
He's eager, weren't he?
Yeah.
He was eager for the fight. Yeah. He wanted to prove something. And to be honest, you know, credit to the lad, he chases things down, doesn't he? Whereas Sharp's a little bit more, shall we say, for a word, refined. he waits for things to come into him, and rather than creating things through a little bit of panic and effort.
But he gives you height, doesn't he?
It does, yeah, but you know, sometimes your pattern of play and the formation that you play dictate the strengths of the players, and I just felt that in the position that they found themselves, that the peers up and go at them attitude suited FC's style of play for that moment in time.
Absolutely. Fisher looked decisive enough. Not much chance with any of the goals. I would think it was one on one on a couple of occasions.
He had a couple when he come off his line, didn't he? To be honest, it put your heart in your mouth
a
little bit.
But he just about got the punch. I mean,
he did
everything. If you deal with it, but it's a young fellow, I'm sure, and will be very much benefiting from this experience.
Well, you see, again, you look along here, you know, with the FC players, you know, having a word and acknowledging the fans. And the fans will acknowledge them and appreciate the efforts that went into the second half. You know, that's what the fans want. They want to see a commitment, win, lose or draw. And you've seen that, you know, that's the lasting effect, isn't it? You know, that last 45 minutes. If the first half had carried on into the second half, you know, maybe they won't be as appreciative, shall we say.
And it's in the back three or the back four. Any thoughts on which worked better?
I'd say that the back four had more balance and stability, because I mean, I was looking at the team, you know, before they even kicked off, and the team for me didn't have any sort of balance to it, and I was trying to work out, you know, what sort of position to actually give stability. When they went to a back four, I think that gave them stability to work off, where players are accustomed to doing the jobs, you know, in the right areas at the right time. In the first half, I just felt it was a little bit of a mishmash, and that's what I thought caused the problems, you know, in our defending.
Absolutely. So thinking ahead, Southport away next week, interesting. But, players will take heart from this last 10-15 minutes today, won't they? When you keep losing, then it becomes a habit, and you think, where on earth is the next point coming from? And the fact they were able to change it around, couldn't quite bag the 3 points, but the fact they're able to turn the game round will make them feel that we can get 3 points in some of these games, and then we can start to just put pressure on those who are above us.
Yeah, I'd say it was more than the last 10 minutes, to be honest, James. I think it was the last 30 minutes, you know, when the substitutions were made. And, you know, they just had a point to prove for me, you know, the lads that came on. And also working off 4-4-2, 4-3-3 at times, like, you know. The more the game went on, it worked getting... It ended up like a 4-2-4, to be honest, with the pressure that FC put on onto Geisley. But Geisley didn't help themselves, you know. They helped FC by actually dropping back and oofing the ball anywhere, whereas in the first half, I felt they'd done everything with a lot of good method and shape to the style and discipline more than anything. And if I said that there was a word that summed Geisley's play up, was discipline in the first half, and a word that summed up FC in the second half, I say was determination.
And is it though, you talk of Geisley, the mistakes they made and the wrong approach, was that though partly a result of the pressure they found themselves under?
Definitely.
And it's a dual pressure, isn't it? It's the pressure from the other team, and then that thing of like you're starting to get near the finishing line and then you've got to hold on to something. It's a very different
I definitely feel that it was the pressure that the substitutions for FC made on Geisley. Geisley didn't concede anything, FC up the ante and increased the pressure on them, and then it was down to the fact that, you know, that little bit of discipline and method of FC to see the game out and possibly nick it, which they nearly did with the header that hit the bar that was offside, But also, I mean, they had a couple of chances there.
Well, the Lynch one. Lynch, anyhow, yeah. It was a perfect run. He wasn't picked up. And it's just about composure, isn't it, then, and doing the right thing, hitting the target.
I think he got confused. And he was wanted to head it across or head it on goal, and he didn't either in the end.
He was stuck in two minds, wasn't he? You could see the way he shaped up, you know, his run, his body shape, that he was going for that top corner. And then as his ball's coming to him, he thought, well, there was a couple of players at the back post area that were there to be hit. And he thought, I'll go for the greater option with the greater percentage and try and hit a space where maybe other people can come in on it and actually destroy the ball and put the ball into the back of the net at the back post.
Well, joined now by Neil Reynolds. Thanks for coming up so quickly, Neil. Given the position in the table, and given you were staring it down the barrel, just how vital was that point this afternoon?
Could be an old cliche, but that could be the turning point. You know, that could be the turning point. We've gambled. You know, we've made three substitutions with half an hour to go. We've changed our shape. We've gone attacking. I think the penalty was just deserved, and it's quite ironic we're talking about we've only had one penalty all season, but I think the penalty just deserved it. They're at it all afternoon, and then the equaliser just deserved, and I thought, you know, go on, score the winner. And it wasn't to be, but you can't knock the character. And that's togetherness. That bit there is togetherness, and the thing that I've said all season is togetherness will get you over the line. They didn't give up, and that's the sign of a team coming together there, to not give up.
Absolutely. Now, what was the precise thinking with the substitutions?
I thought, being perfectly honest, I thought the centre half got the better of Sharp too many occasions winning the ball, and we didn't work towards that, but he got the better of him. I thought Harry just tired in the middle of the park, and Josh might have got us higher up the park, and I think Zen, you know, maybe a little bit of a hangover from last week. I think, you know, his confidence was knocked a little bit, and I think you've seen that in his performance at times today. And I just wanted to go 4-4-2 and get the full-backs out and get two wide men on. And just, you know, if we're going to get beat, but trying to win the game. And, you know, as it happens, we've got a point, and it's a massive point.
And what about Tom Pears? We thought looked particularly bright, really up for it, very threatening. Nearly scored, although he was in offside position, but then did score. Just how important was he in those closing minutes?
Pearce, he was great when he came on, and we knew how big they were at the back, and that's probably the only reason why he didn't start today, and we went with Sharp's height. As it happened, it didn't work out today, but Pearce, he come on, and that's part of being in the team. And, you know, is he disappointed? Not really, because he knows he's coming back from his injury, and he's still not 100%, and is he 90 minutes yet? Not yet, but we're working him back in. If we can get Pearce fit for the last 10 games, then you've just seen he's going to be a real handful. But listen, we've got belief now. We've got real belief. We've stopped the rot, and, you know, let's go to Southport now and see what we can do.
I think my feelings were from the 60th minute when you made the substitutions. I think going to a back four gave you the stability, but also the deliveries of the ball into the box were first timers. Whereas I felt in the first half you was dwelling on it, trying to pick out specific people or areas. But when that ball started going in first time, that caused pressure on their back line. And he was unlucky Pearce was unlucky when he hit the bar with one there. It was offside. But that first time ball kills them.
It's a difficult one for us, because we went to a three at the back against Stockport and did really well. We went to a three at the back against Alti last week and did really well. We've worked on it in training all week. And, you know, if we were trying to just get Danny into the wing-back position, Halley into the wing-back position, and, you know, we thought it had come off. But, you know, the goals, you can't make excuses for the goals. The goals are poor. I'm not going to stand here and say they wasn't. You know, every one of them's everyone's avoidable. That's for us to address in training this week. But I honestly, I'm so happy for everyone. I'm so proud of the lads, because that's the sign. That's the sign of togetherness. It just might keep you where you need to be.
And what about Chris Lynch at the end there? Beautiful run. Well, obviously the defending, I was going to say first, when he made a perfect run. And then it seemed to us maybe, do you think he was caught in two minds whether to head for goal or head it across?
I think he had too much time, didn't he? Yeah. You know, and, you know, probably looking back at it, he probably goes for goal, but he heads it across. But then, you know, the guy's incredible. He goes about 90 yards there and he gets his head on this one, which you know, could, is that bit of luck that we need? We talk about not having the luck, and, you know, it's Lynchy and goes away. And, you know, we might look back on this and say it's a massive point. You know, results haven't gone against us today. They haven't gone for us. They haven't gone against us. For me, it's huge. For me, what it is for that squad down there, it gives us belief. It gives us belief that there's real character in that dressing room, and with 11 games to go, you know, the fans have seen it and I've seen it, and the management team, that that team won't give up.
And do we, is it, are we talking here about the mental side of the game here, even more than the skills and the physical side of the game?
I think you are. I think there was, you know, a slight headache from last week, and we've got a lot of, you know, young lads that are in here, and, you know, mentally you need to be strong, you need to be tough, and, you know, they talk about it, you know, all over the country, all over the world, about mental toughness. Mm-hmm. You know, you can have all the ability you want, but if you, you know, if you make mistakes, if you're not fully prepared, or if you switch off in key areas, things like that can happen. I mean, you know, Billy's asked Davis, he never gets outpaced there for the second goal, and starting position's not right, and then he goes into a bit of a wobble after that. But listen, it's going to happen. The young lads, and the best thing is for them is that they're learning all the time. They're applying the trade, they're learning. I'm not going to berate people for making a mistake. What we'll do is try to eradicate them. But I am. You see my reaction on the third goal. I didn't know how to run, hug, cry. I didn't know what to do. You know, it was relief. And I've just said to the lads in the dressing room there, just believe. Believe from here on in.
What about young keeper, Fisher? I mean, made decisions and just about got them right, didn't he, a couple of times when he came out for
the
ball?
You know, he takes the ball at the highest area, and that's what I like. You know, under pressure from the throw-ins and the corners, he comes out, he takes the ball at the highest point, he looks to distribute early, he made a crucial save where he stood up big. I don't think he can do anything with the goals, to be honest. I think the goals, three of them are poor goals to give away.
Poor marking.
And it's another good performance from him. And, you know, what I've said to the lads and what I've just said to them is just stay in there, just prepare yourself right, bring your individual A game, the collective game will come together, but you don't underestimate how much you've got to take from this performance today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't underestimate how much you take from it, because that's the side that's shown that bit that I've said that possibly we haven't had all season.
Well, specifically Southport, what sort of team are they, what sort of challenges do they present for you?
I mean, it's only 3-4 months ago in the season when, you know, they're calling for his head and things aren't going right, and they're talking, all of a sudden he hasn't done a great deal of difference apart from that team's just clicked. You know, they've got some togetherness, they've got some belief from somewhere, they go 10 unbeaten, but what they've done in the last few weeks, they've kind of won one, lost one, drawn one, won one, lost one. The thing is with us now, we can't go into any game with any fear. There's no fear. If we go into games with fear and we lose, you know, you're going to be facing relegation. We've just got to say, just go and play, just go and play, we'll set you up, but just go and play and bring everything that you brought to the game. Like I said, just take it, what you've just, you know, the dressing room's got a real buzz about it. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
it's not because we've got a point, it's because they didn't give up on each other.
Yeah,
they looked
round
and there was leadership qualities on that pitch that dragged us through, and obviously, you know, individual bits of quality that's got us a goal. So we'll go to Southampton, we'll go to Southport next
You'd
week.
You'd be lucky.
I wish it was Southampton, yeah. We'll go to Southport next week and, you know, we'll just give another good account of ourselves. I know the fans will travel in their numbers. But this will give us a bounce going into training now, and you know, let's just go for it. That's all the fans want. Let's go for it.
Win, lose or draw, so long as they see effort on the field and commitment off the lads, work rate, empty the tanks out, and go for it, and work to the levels that they're capable of.
Yeah.
Because you never ask them to work beyond those levels.
No. And you know, and that's it really, isn't it?
So
definitely.
Well done, Neil. Half term for you as well, is it this
half-term.
Week?
Half term.
So you can sleep during the day and then. Happy birthday, Neil Reynolds, and you got a couple of birthday presents in the last 10 minutes or so.
Yeah, I did do, and you know, I take a lot from it. But just thanks for all the fans there; they're absolutely brilliant. And just stick with us. Just stick with us. Just believe in us. That today's could be the turning point.
And don't you think having James Quinn back that adds an extra bit of steel
absolutely.
To the whole team?
You know, you've just brought that little bit of luck that we needed today. And you know, a shame you can't make it next week.
I know, it's a shame. Yeah,
but no.
The harder I practice, the luckier I get.
All right.
Okay,
thanks,
Neil.
Guys.
Thanks ever so much. All the best.
Thank you. Well done, then.
Thanks, mate. Right. What were you saying then? Can't believe it.
Yeah,
just to give you the full-time scores from elsewhere in the league. Kiss of death from me earlier. Alfreton beat Charlie today by 2-1. Sorry, everyone. That's my fault.
What a win.
Altrincham drew 1-1 with Bradford Park Avenue. Ashton United 0. Hereford 0. So neither of them have got further away. Brackley 2, Curzon Ashton 0. Chester beat Boston United by 4-1. It finished 0-0 between Darlington and Southport, FC's next opponents. Kidderminster 1, York 2. Leamington 1, Blyth 2. Nuneaton 0, Spennymoor 2. And finally, Stockport County 3, Telford 2. You might look on the surface, Roy, and go, we didn't get the 3 points we needed.
You
but
know what?
He's three right, isn't he?
3-1 down, and you come away with a marauding 3-3 draw feels like a victory, and for me it's only something to build on. What I will hope is that the players that come in want to build on what they actually put into the game, you know, over that last 30 minutes or so. And the players that were replaced reflect on what they've seen and when they get the opportunity to put that 100% in as well.
FC Live there from Saturday afternoon following FC United's battling 3-3 draw with Guiseley. Next up for the Reds then will be a tough away match at Southport. The address for the ground is Hague Avenue, Southport, Lancashire, PR86JZ. That's Hague Avenue, PR86JZ. Kick-off this Saturday will be at 3 p.m. But remember, if you cannot make this match in person, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air live on Saturday from 2:30 p.m. on www.fc-radio.co.uk.
FC Radio.
Right, do you know the piano's on my foot?
Women's team news now, and on Sunday afternoon, the Broadhurst Park 3G saw FC host Accrington Girls and Ladies in the league. To hear how Luke Podmore's side got on, it's over to Women's Team Live.
Hello everybody and welcome to the back of the main stand, otherwise known as WT Live. You join us here facing the 3G pitch. It's FC United and Manchester's women's team against Accrington Girls and Ladies FC. Stato Paul is with me. Hello Paul.
Good afternoon.
So it's back to league matters after a bit of a mini spell away with Argyle Cup action. And FC United currently sitting fourth in the league table, 12 points off league leaders Tranmere Rovers. But let's put that into some form of perspective. FC United have 7 games in hand over Tranmere Rovers.
Yeah.
And also have 8 games in hand over Wigan Athletic, who sit 1 point ahead of us in the league table. It's Stockport County that all eyes are on. They're 9 points ahead of us. They've played 2 games more. And we've got to play Stockport County at some point towards the end of the season as well.
And they've got a 100% record.
And they have a 100% record. Obviously, FC United have one loss to their name and one draw, maybe. We're not sure, because that was at Merseyrail, and less said about that, the better. Cannot afford to lose any games, Paul. Drop any points. It's got to be win, 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 win as we head into that Stockport County game.
And a win today will push us into third, which makes it a bit more realistic table-wise. Accrington are one from the bottom. They've won twice this season out of, I think it's 11 games or something like that. They've not won more than twice. And of course we won there 4-2 on that wet, cold, miserable day that we did the commentary.
Over the last few weeks or so, we've been saying, you know, we need to get a right winger in. And well, Yvette Lukes has re-emerged in the FC United lineup, and it's a cracking signing, that, isn't it, Paul?
Yvette is a formidable winger. I think it was 9 goals in 12 games she put in last season, and she was a loss when she went back to Urmston, and I'm sure Luke has been trying for some time now to get her back, and he's delighted to see her back in the red shirt again, and we're looking for big things from her again to tail off this season.
Corner ball from the left-hand side now for FC United. Foster to take it. 19 minutes on the clock. 0-0 the score currently. But it's been all FC United in this first 20 minutes or so. Ball cleared, only as far as Lukes. Back out to Foster on the left-hand side. Cross comes in, first time towards the back post. Oh, Chambers! Oh. Chambers, Chambers, Chambers. That was brilliant. I'll tell you what. First time ball in from Foster. Looping ball. And as soon as that ball was in the air, you knew exactly what Kirsty Chambers was going to do. She didn't let it bounce, ladies and gentlemen at home, boys and girls. She wellied it on the volley. And it was a beautiful finish, Paul, and well deserved there by FC United. And goal, I'm going to say it now, that's goal of the season right there.
And it was the way she kept it down as well, wasn't it? That was the key.
Cleared by Davis, who gets it to Marsh. Marsh to Greenall in the centre circle. Greenall out to the left-hand side. Finds Carrington. Carrington now launches the ball, and there's a number of players onside here. One of them's Chambers. Chambers rounding the goalkeeper. And a fabulous, fabulous finish once again there from Kirsty Chambers. And on 29 minutes, it's a bit more comfortable now for FC United. 2-0, Paul, and thoroughly deserved.
Well, the high line for the offside was undone really dramatically there. And Kirsty just skirted round the keeper and from the wide angle, put it in with a bit of aplomb, I would say.
Foster now. Foster launches a ball over the top there and fields is in acres of space on the right-hand side of Accrington's penalty box. In it comes towards the penalty spot. It breaks, finds McCarrick on the edge of the box, finds Chambers in loads of room. And that is a hat-trick for Kirsty Chambers on 32 minutes. And, well, that's Kirsty Chambers has come to the party, Paul, as you rightly pointed out earlier.
Well, somebody had to do the goal-scoring mantle with Jess Battle going off early, injured, and a quick-fire hat-trick here, 32 minutes, and Accrington are really being put to the sword here early in this second half, in this first half. Jess McCarrick.
Oh, McCarrick. Out towards the left-hand side, the ball goes to O'Gara. O'Gara now on a right foot, tries to find Chambers, who's onside. Can she round the goalkeeper? Can Chambers make it four? She can, you know. It's 4-0, and it's four goals for Kirsty Chambers on 37 minutes, Paul.
Well, another devastating finish.
Chambers takes the throw-in quickly, gets it to O'Gara. O'Gara plays it square to Foster. Foster there, nutmegs the defender, gets it to McCarrick. McCarrick beats two players. And Shawley's lining up a shot. No, plays the ball back to Foster, who nonchalantly, I'm going to say meant that.
I think she did.
Places it, let's say, it rolled, beyond the goalkeeper's reach.
Rolled slowly over the line.
And crept over the line. And with 4 minutes played in the second half, it's as you were, it's now 5-0. Accrington passing the ball about in their defensive third again. And Fields pounces. Fields finds Chambers on the edge of the box. Chambers!
Oh!
That's a peach of a finish. Right underneath the crossbar. And FC United make it 6. 12 minutes into this second half. Kirsty Chambers there with her fifth goal, and that was unstoppable, really, Paul, wasn't it?
Sloppy piece of defending to gift Cara Fields the ball, but she found Kirsty Chambers, and Kirsty's the kind of player that says, oh, well, thanks very much, I know exactly what I'm going to do with this.
And we've got 66 minutes on the clock here at Broadhurst Park, and Foster's been, not to jinx or anything like that, but very good at penalties this season. Foster lines up. And it goes underneath the goalkeeper, and well, it's 7-0. McCarrick, who's left of centre, midway into Accrington's half, out to his left hand side now, finds Carrington, who's looking to go towards the byline, beats at one player, cross comes in towards the back post, not enough on that cross, and it's comfortable in the end for the goalkeeper for Accrington. He rolls it out straight to Yvette Lukes. That's not the player you want to give the ball to. Lukes breaks.
Oh,
bottom corner,
solo effort.
And on a return back to the club, 26 minutes into the second half, the score is now 8-0. Yvette Lukes there with the eighth, Paul.
No hesitation from Yvette Lukes. Picked the ball up from a poor goalkeeping clearance. Just drove through the penalty area and picked a spot.
Marsh now plays the ball infield, midway into FC United's half. Here's Foster now. Foster moving forward into the centre circle she goes, plays the ball through there, finds Cara Fields in a bit of space, who turns, the pass ricochets and finds Chambers. Chambers now only body in the penalty area, in a red shirt. All she had in front of her was the goal and a couple of players to her right hand side. She opts for the shot. The goalkeeper had no chance, in off the post. Two hat tricks for Kirsty Chambers and 9-0, Paul.
Well, poor keeper there just stood and watched it, and it just, again, it just rolled against the post quite leisurely and dropped in. But
well, that's on 76 minutes now, and I think the game's beyond all doubt now, Paul, where the 3 points ahead in this afternoon.
And the player of the match is still in doubt.
We can't give it to Kirsty Chambers, Paul. It's too obvious. Fields lays it off there. That's great stuff. Finds O'Gara. O'Gara back out to the right hand side to Lukes. Lukes now looking to drive forward, gets it to O'Gara, and Lukes was caught off the ball there, but it looks accidental. Play continues. Foster to Chambers. Chambers back to Foster. Foster looking out towards his left-hand side. No, opts to check back in field. Foster finds O'Gara on the edge of the box. Nice skill from O'Gara. Opens up a body. Shot comes in!
Oh.
Over the goalkeeper's head. And Kate O'Gara on 77 minutes, Paul. And, well, it's 10-0, Paul.
We're up to now 6 for Chambers, 2 for Foster, 1 for Lukes, 1 for O'Gara.
And now a 1-2 there with Fields. Fields gives it back to McCarrick. McCarrick still with the ball, finds Chambers. Chambers, still with Chambers. It's 7 goals for Kirsty Chambers. And I suppose we're going to have to give him man of the match, Paul. 11-0 the score now on 81 minutes. 5 minutes left to play here at Broadhurst Park. It's a penalty for FC United. Foster to take it. And Foster on a hat-trick here. Can she get her hat-trick from the penalty spot? Foster steps up. She can. With 85 minutes gone here at Broadhurst Park, the score is now FC United and Manchester 12. Accrington girls and ladies 0. Kirsty Chambers with 7 goals. Foster with a hat-trick.
Poor keeper's not in a hurry to get on her feet either. I think she's really had enough.
Yeah, so let me give you those stats of home goals scored. Kirsty Chambers this afternoon, 7. Sir Tom Finney, 6. Accrington Girls, 6. Penrith, 6.
That's all season, by the way.
That's all season, yeah. And just at home, I should say. They have scored, obviously, some away goals too. But you get the point. Throw-in taken by Marsh. It's Foster now. Foster looking out towards his left-hand side. Lovely ball. Finds Carrington. Carrington now driving it towards the byline. She goes, crosses this ball into Chambers. And 92nd minute, FC United have made it 13-0. Kirsty Chambers with her 8th goal.
Okay, I'm here with head coach Luke Pavor. Terrific victory there, 13-0. We put the sort of like the difficulties of the away game against Accrington away behind us there nicely. Yeah. 13-0. It was 4 in the first half. Didn't really tell the tale of where we were going to go with that one.
No. I actually said to the players at half time, I said, you know, today was all about goals and getting ourselves in a great position in the league. And yeah, the half-time team talk was, you know, pretty much we need to do better in front of the goal. I think we had 30 shots in the first half on the stats. Felt we could have done a little bit better with, you know, I wouldn't come away with the 4 goals. And the girls agreed with me, and I think we went out second half and put it right and scored another hatful.
Yeah, certainly Kirsty pulling in her part there, getting 8, equaling the club record previously against a much weaker side, let's say, Hayes side, when Furries and Shelby both put 8 in when we beat them 24-0 up at Abraham Moss. And that was a far better 8, I thought.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so you know, first goal was absolutely stunning. And like I say, it's all about the quality of the team. You know, a lot of the players around have made those goals for her as well. But at the end of the day, Kirsty's, you know, she hit the back of the net 8 times, and that's all we can ask for. I can't ask for any more than that.
Yeah, I think a lot. You could probably say that maybe the second to 8 were team goals, but that first one was an individual piece of brilliance.
Yes, wow, it was outstanding.
Well, I think that probably won the goal of the season competition already for Cara's chagrin. She put a few good ones in herself, but we've got exactly what we wanted. We've got another clean sheet. That's 5 on the bounce now. That's really, you're turning it round compared to where we were, say, a couple of months ago when we were leaking goals a little bit more often. Are you training anything different to do that, or is it just the way it's worked out?
Yeah, we're always trying to tweak the way we play and trying to, you know, obviously become a little bit more adaptable to situations and stuff. And I think when we're at home, when we're in the form we're in, when we can score that many, or that game just up the front end, it does tend to take the edge off the other team coming back the other way. So I think it helps us, you know, for us, attack is the best form of defence. So we just needed to be a little bit more us. And I think over the last, like I say, progressively over the last few weeks, we've managed to get forward a lot more. And like I say, today we've managed to score 13. So I think Accrington was all hands to the deck, sort of keeping us out rather than trying to score the other end. And I think that works the best.
Yeah, last week we were talking about the away game at Tranmere that this should have been, which was probably going to be a reasonably tough match. But we're still faced with a reasonably tough match. Mosley Hill away next week. That should be because they're still up at the top end of the of the league. That given you any thoughts to how to face that one?
Yeah, it was going to be a tough game. I mean, we played an outstanding game last time. We were beating 5-0 inside the stadium, but I'm pretty sure conditions and all their sort of set up and their pitch there are going to make it real difficult for us. So we've just got to make sure we've got enough about us to be able to adapt on the day and to be able to change to whatever situation comes. And like I say, if we keep a clean sheet, we only need 1 goal to win the game. And I think for us, we've always got a goal in us.
Yeah, we don't need 8, but thankfully Kirsty delivered them today. Thanks very much, Luke Pommel.
Cheers, Neil.
Cheers.
Thanks, Neil. And that's it for This Club Is My Club for this week. You can hear this show on Monday and Tuesdays at 12:30 PM and 7 PM on www.fc-radio.co.uk and on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9:05 PM on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store, and all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUM Radio. A big thank you to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.